Welcome back to season two. I guess season two, right?
Season
Kind of.
two,
We call it
I
season two
think.
of Not Above It, the podcast for serious people who love unserious TV. I'm Jake.
I'm Tasia.
We're back after
Oh.
our debut season, covering the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. For those of you listening, tuning in, who are new to the show, Tasia and I guess pretty obnoxiously like to think of ourselves as intellectuals of
Oh
some
yeah.
stripe, right?
I mean, obnoxiously, to be fair, we have degrees that
We've put
do
the work in. We
suggest.
put the work in, and we have the debt to show for
Look,
it.
yes, and we did put the work in. We absolutely have the debt to show for it. Proof of
Yes.
work, proof of stake.
Yeah, and
I am a
yeah. Listen, I
cryptocurrency.
think if nothing else, we have earned the title of intellectual because we have put up with the personalities that are baked into the academic structure in the United
Oh
States. And that
yeah.
in and of itself is a
Is
battle.
plenty.
I mean, you think housewives are
Look,
you think
you
housewives are
know.
nasty. I ask you to spend I ask you to spend 2 hours in a 1L constitutional law seminar. You will meet some people that will make you want to drive your sports car off a cliff.
Just come and co just come with me
There
to an academic conference.
you go.
You will see the smallest people fight over the lowest stakes you could possibly imagine.
And you know, that's kind of why we're here, right? I
That's
think
right.
that given what we do all day, I'm an attorney, Tasia here is a professor, and
Oh.
we need, you know, a release, I think. A little bit of stupidity in our lives. And yet I think we're sort of incapable of getting away from the lenses that we bring to our everyday work.
That's it.
To our escapes, which for Tasia and I, the first and foremost of which is watching reality
The grosser,
TV.
the more pathetic the personalities, the
Oh,
more intense the striving,
see, I think
the better for me.
we've imported a little bit of elitism to the world of reality TV because I won't watch just anything. There has to be kind of
No.
a
I
bouquet
was.
of
Yes, there is an important tapestry that must exist. And when I say pathetic, I don't mean just anything.
Yeah.
I don't mean that.
I'm not watching Sister Wives.
Well,
It's not for
no.
me. It's not for
And
me.
see, that's the thing is, sorry, but like whatever the weird conglomerate that became of TLC, like Discovery, TLC, Disney, whatever it is, that's not the stuff for me.
No. Well, interestingly enough, when our good friend Lisa Barlow was putting together the first season of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, she described Miss Whitney Rose as a little too TLC. Don't you think?
Wow, that's so oof.
Which may be the root of all of their dysfunction.
I mean, if someone described me as a little too TLC, I would be hurt. Very, very hurt. Interesting. Didn't know that. That does make me like re-triangulate their relationship a little bit.
Oh, a little bit. And so we spent season one of Not Above It covering the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City with a variety of lenses, anthropological, armchair psychological. A
Certainly.
little bit of economic theory thrown in
Always.
there.
Always.
A lot of
Certainly
sociology.
a little bit of philosophy. Definitely.
A lot of
This is
Shakespeare
an.
references, a lot of Dickens
Oh,
references.
there were those. This is absolutely like an. It is an anthropology of the
Striving.
Bravo universe
An
a
anthropology
little
of
bit.
striving.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And
that's.
I think that's beautiful.
Which I think is what I'll call the book that I one day write about the
The
Bravo universe.
Anthropology of striving.
The anthropology of wanting it real bad.
Ooh, yeah, that's real. Well, you
But
know what?
we
Why
started
not?
out, we got our feet wet with The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and in keeping with our love of at least outwardly appearing wealthy women. living on the edges of the wilderness,
That's right.
fighting with each other in really dark ways. We are graduating to a new show that we're going to cover. Not a new show, a new show for us, but actually quite an
Yes.
old show, a sort of deep cut into the BCU, the Bravo Cinematic Universe, as I like to call it.
That's right.
We are covering this season The Real Housewives of Vancouver.
Yes.
TBD whether we will cover both seasons of the show, but we are starting off with season one of The Real Housewives of Vancouver, which was a short-lived licensed version of the Real Housewives brand that lived on a Canadian network called Slice. Listener, we are blessed to have a Canadian in our midst to cover this show, to give us the native's perspective on I didn't say the First Peoples, the First
No,
Nations
you didn't say First
perspective,
Nations, you said the natives.
the native,
And
which okay,
okay, fair enough.
the citizens, or should I say the citizen, the subjects
Yeah.
perspective, the rural
Yeah.
subjects perspective, on the show. Tasia, do you know anything about Slice?
I have never heard of Slice that I recall. Let's be fair.
Okay.
So, about me and my rumored Canadianness. I have not lived there in more almost 2 decades now, which scares me and pains me to say because that means I am getting older every single day. But I haven't lived there in a very long time. In 2012, when the show debuted, I did live there, but I was drunk and on drugs. So,
In the proud Canadian tradition.
absolutely. The proud Canadian tradition of being a kind of drunk that Americans don't get, by the way.
No,
So I'm sorry to say, I live here now, have for many years, and inshallah, Canada will become the 51st state soon. Yeah, but Slice, no idea. Don't know what this is.
Okay.
I was not sober enough to be watching television at that point in my life.
Got
No idea. There are
it.
other like deep cut, very Canadian television networks that I can draw, like just pull out of my brain references to. Slice? No clue.
So I just pulled up slice.ca. I love a good
Oh,
dot. I love
God.
a good .ca website. And it seems like they are like the main licensing destination in Canada for Bravo
For
shows.
Bravo.
Yeah.
That would make
So
sense.
I'm seeing The Real Housewives of Orange County. I'm seeing Below, the various iterations of Below Deck. Then I'm seeing some homegrown true crime content.
That's very, I think that's very Canadian.
Yeah,
We love
the Daily
true
Show,
crime.
interestingly enough. They
Yeah.
have the rights to the Daily Show and Love After Lockup, since we're talking
Ooh.
about things that are very TLC. Fun fact about me, I went to high school with a guy who ended up on Love After Lockup.
Was he the one in love or was he the one locked
He
up?
was the one locked up.
Oh.
And I don't know if anyone was actually in love there. There was a lot of unresolved psychic damage going on both sides of that situation. So
Which is really how
somebody,
I think most people end up locked up.
and how most people end up lo in love with someone who's locked up, because the conceit of the show is that they met after the person was locked up,
Right.
not that the person got locked up and then their partner stayed with them, which is a different animal. But this is
Yeah, that's a
someone
totally different thing.
who sought out someone behind bars and they fell in love.
No, troubling stuff.
Yeah, well, while we're talking about troubling stuff, The Real Housewives of Vancouver.
Oof. So let me also just say a couple of things about not just Canada,
Set the scene for us.
but Vancouver. Yeah, Vancouver. So I'm not from there. Canada, big, huge country, right? I'm not from Vancouver. I'm from the only real city in Canada, which is Toronto. It's not, contrary to popular belief, not Montreal. Montreal, that's in Quebec, not Canada.
Different
Just no
country.
matter how much they just have decided to boo the American national anthem at Montreal habitants games, Canadiens, it doesn't matter. They are, that is Quebec. That
Ooh.
is not Canada.
Not to
Everybody
be a
just chill.
critic, not to be a critic, but your French accent is not giving
No. Yeah,
Québécois,
because I that yes, because I don't, I'm
it's
not from there.
giving
I'm from
French. Because
Canada.
you're net from Quebec.
I'm not from Quebec. I'm not from Quebec and I've never lived in Quebec. However, I have lived in BC and but also not in Vancouver. Vancouver is a place I have visited a number of times. And it's a place I don't like. I don't like it at all. And
Why?
that's Vancouver is expensive. And places that are as expensive as Vancouver, which was like it was expensive before the idea of cities being too expensive was really even off the ground. Like where when I lived in Canada, I could have and did have an apartment for $750, right? A big one bedroom apartment, let's say, for $750. That was very fairly standard at the time in Vancouver. That would have been $1,500. It was always incredibly expensive. And while like Toronto has equalized with Vancouver and so on, a ton of money in Vancouver always has been, and that means that it essentially is it's like an apartheid city. There is such a intense division of wealth in Vancouver that it's just not that cool. It's not that interesting. I've heard
It's
there's
a
great
pretty young
food.
city too, right?
Yeah, it's a pretty young city, and it's and because of the kind of poverty that is in Vancouver, it is there is an immense amount of very, very scary drug use. And this is not coming from a place of no one should be on drugs. I just told you that I couldn't have known about Slice because I was drunk and on drugs. Not what I'm saying. I'm talking about a very, very intense issue with drugs, drug and alcohol abuse in and around Vancouver that stems from
Deprivation, it sounds like.
deep deprivation, but also prime it stems from the fact of C Canadian settler colonialism, right? A lot of the people who have very serious drug issues, who are very, very poor, who are very, very addicted to alcohol as well. In Vancouver, it's not all, but in Vancouver, are the Indigenous people who are there. And that makes for a very volatile city, if you are not hyper, hyper, hyper wealthy. And a lot of people are.
It sounds like
A lot of people are.
I mean, when you were talking, I was thinking this sounds like the Canadian equivalent of San Francisco in a lot of ways.
A little bit, yeah, and that's very much what it's like. Is the is It has that sort of Pacific Northwest-ish sort of vibe.
Or I mean, you could say Seattle to some extent too.
Seattle, you can say Port, you could say Portland, you could like it is like
It's an extension of a lot of those problems that seem to
those
plague the West
exactly
Coast.
it, that plague the West Coast. Some of that has to do with, of course, Indigenous people. It also that. But not, of course, not them specifically, but with the way that they have been treated by the in the Canadian case by the Canadian state, in over the last several hundred years. But then it also has to do with the fact that these cities are port cities where drugs come very easily and come in. They're passing through San Francisco, they're passing through Seattle, they're passing through Vancouver. This is just the fact of the way, like that's how drugs get here. They're not, it's not fentanyl from China, guys. It is more often than not, it's the military and in Canada, it's the military and it's importing with other goods. That's what's happening. And so there's a huge proliferation of drugs and drug use in Vancouver,
And drug
which can
wealth,
make
probably.
and a lot of drug wealth. Absolutely.
Which I feel like we
We don't talk about that enough.
saw some glimpses of some questionable wealth, I think, in this first episode of The Real
Oh,
Housewives of
yeah.
Vancouver. And I didn't want to do too much research into the women that we met in this episode, but there are some things
There,
that make a lot of sense after I watched the first episode, after having Googled, in particular, Miss Jodie Clayman and Miss Reiko McKenzie, and Reiko's husband in particular. But we'll get into that.
Yeah, I'm sure that will resurface.
Yeah. So we start this episode with an intro to Jodie Clayman, who is actually the reason why I suggested we watch this show, because Jodie is considered in intense Bravo fandom circles on Reddit in particular to
Oh
be
boy.
one of the darkest characters to
Oh.
ever darken the doorstep of a Housewives franchise.
I love it so much. You have no idea. She felt immediately diabolical.
Yes.
In a way that like it was because Canadians, I'm sorry, it is for all the similarities between Canadians and Americans, there are some differences that do in fact matter. One of them is there isn't this like hyper desire to be on television culturally, right? Or to which has manifested in these last 10 years as being an influencer. It's not the same as like the way people wanted to be on television in the 80s, the 90s, the early 2000s. Not quite the it, anyways. That's not part of our culture the same way. Having a media career is not the most sort of this like this elevated thing.
Something to aspire to,
Partly
yeah.
because that people aspire to in the same way. Partly because it's very easy. Canada, in terms of cultural production, you can get caught in this sort of loop where you're sort of stuck in Canada. And you,
Mary Zilba knows a thing about that, I think.
hey, which is why, like, we have a bunch of laws in Canada to, they're called the CanCon laws, Canadian content laws, that say that there has to be a certain amount of Canadian content produced by Canadians on radio, on television, on and so
Interesting.
on. To because America is the cultural hegemon and it's right next door. So you don't have this huge kind of like drive to be a media or cultural figure in Canada. Because if you do really want that and you want it for real, you come down here to the States, right? This
Interesting.
is why you have somebody like Drake or The Weeknd,
Yeah.
where you guys don't know who like
Oh,
Maestro is
you've
or
infiltrated. You guys are everywhere.
oh yeah, we're everywhere. And always have been. But and that's not my Canadian nationalism. That's simply that, you wouldn't have had this big brouhaha about SNL if there wasn't a
No.
revival that
Yeah.
included a bunch of Canadians at certain key points
Absolutely.
in
Yeah. Oh my God, so much of our comedy is
yes.
Jews and Canadians.
Yeah, the funny people.
Exactly.
Jews, Canadians and blacks.
Yeah. Which I'm fine with. I mean, that's the trifecta of the culture. I'm totally fine with
Well, that's my
it.
that and that's and
All I
look at
need.
what and look at what I have achieved.
There you go. Tayshia's married to a wonderful Jewish man. She's
I am, yeah.
you've checked all
And
the
don't let the accent fool you, I am black.
boxes.
Because there isn't this huge drive towards being a cultural figure in Canada, the people who really want it, of which Jodi, you immediately feel it from her,
Oh
are
yeah.
fucking freaks.
Yeah.
They're weirdos. They're scared and they're scary. They're a
She's
little bit
terrifying.
scary.
She's
You
terrifying.
need, that's the thing. If you want to be that thing, you have to leave
She,
because you can't be around other Canadians.
yeah. But there's also something to be said, I think, for knowing that Canada is maybe a bit of a smaller pond, and that the to be top dog there may be preferable to being a mid dog in LA. I found that her calling her boutique the Glass House kind of felt like a threat.
That woman's scary.
She's very scary. Her pronunciation is also throwing me for a loop. Her like very upper class Canadian way of speaking, which
Yes.
feels put on. It feels like she's heard upper class Canadian people. She sounds like Moira Rose, honestly. I have to imagine Catherine
Yeah.
O'Hara must have seen this woman at some point and been like, oh, this is diabolical and would make for a great television character because the similarities, I mean, she seems like evil Moira Rose in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
The way of speaking feels like she's been around a lot of Canadian elites and has sort of like adopted this style of speaking that just throws me for a loop. It's just
Yeah,
it's
it's a strange one.
and there's this claim also that she, I mean, she lives in a beautiful house overlooking the city of Vancouver, and she's trying to like she's very clearly trying to pass herself off as self-made, despite I think being married to like a hedge fund manager or something, through this boutique and selling muffins.
That
Just like I
okay.
made $50,000 a day baking
Yeah.
muffins.
Right. With cocaine in
Oh, for
them.
sure. Yeah.
Right? Because
Cocaine
like
muffins.
who's buying these, like $50,000 a day making these muffins is first of all nuts
Y'all love
as a, just
Canadians.
as a claim.
Y'all love to not saying that that Jody's doing this, put a big lawyerly caveat on what I'm about to say. But this is a joke, not defamation. But it
Oh
seems
my
like
God.
Canadians love to launder money through sweets, maple syrup, muffins.
Well,
Like
yes. Because
they
everyone is cold and drunk. Like, I can't,
And they
like,
just want a
first of
pan. They just
all,
want a pancake, and they'll pay top dollar
yeah,
for it.
everybody's cold and drunk. Now, the thing that, okay, she never, I just have to quickly, she never made that kind of money selling muffins. But if it became the case that she was producing a muffin that, or a kind of muffin, and I don't know if this is the case or not, but if she was producing a kind of muffin that was purchased by this very particular company in Canada, there is a chance she made a huge amount of money.
Like a grocery store chain or something,
Yeah,
or
there is a
okay.
very big grocery store chain in Canada owned by a man named Galen Weston. It's but they also own a brand in the grocery store, and it's sort of like a mid-tier brand. They own a lower tier brand, and I believe there is an upper tier brand as well, but there is a mid-tier one that is very good. Like, their products are very good, and the reason their products are very good is because they basically would buy out these small producers, buy out their recipes, buy out how they're producing a given thing, like increase or scale up the production and put their label on it. And people made huge amounts of money
Got it.
selling their
Their thing
bespoke
through.
product.
Yeah, I think Trader Joe's does something similar here.
Trader Joe's
Yeah.
does do something sort of similar. Yeah, but this is a Canada-wide
Got
thing
it. Got it.
where they were rapaciously bought up a bunch of recipes and some teeny little brands and so on to sell in their supermarkets. And hey, you know, it's called President's Choice. And
Don't even have a president.
it's the president is Galen Weston, the president
Oh,
of
got it.
Loblaws, blah blah blah
Got
blahs.
it. Got it.
Who, yeah, who the product quality was excellent, when I lived there anyway. It was really good.
So maybe
So
she
she could have
made
made a
maybe her
pretty
millions
penny doing that.
off of what is it, Loblaws?
Loblaws.
Loblaws. Okay. Maybe.
That could be
For
what
some
she is referring
reason,
to. I don't
I
think
doubt
so.
it. For some
I don't
reason, I
think
doubt
so,
it. For some reason, I
but
think it was the hedge fund manager husband that probably.
100%. But I'm being, I'm offering some a little Canadian flavor to explain why somebody would make such an insane
That's why we're doing this.
claim.
so we
Oh
can get
no.
insight into the Canadian muffin industry. Next, we meet Mary Zilba, who is actually an American. I think actually there are a couple of Amer I think Ronnie may be American too. I'm not sure. But Mary's from Ohio. She was Miss America. She met a Canadian hedge fund manager.
As ever.
As it goes, moved up to Vancouver, set up her life there, became a Canadian pop star. Do you know about Mary Zilba's hits? She seemed to frame herself as sort of a household name in Canada, and I don't know if that's true, but
Oh, here, yeah,
she had a song
here's the
called
thing.
"Do Me Right."
Yeah, I tried to find this song when I was watching this. And I can't say that I know this song. I really can't. I can't say that I know who Mary Zilba was. It's possible
Listen,
that.
there are acts that, like, as you said, become like a circuitous within Canada. Like
For
kind of
sure.
like what's her name? Phoebe, shoot, the alternative,
Fifi Dobson.
Fifi Dobson, who like kind of like became a little hip here in the US, but like in Canada, she is like a big deal, right? She's like
She was a thing.
Avril Lavigne.
A little bit, yeah. There was her, there are some other kind of big deal Canadians that like musicians especially that just sort of like wink
They don't seem to
down
cross
here,
over a little bit.
but they don't cross over, you know, like one of the big ones that holds a very special place in my heart and in many Canadians' hearts is the Tragically Hip. They were sort of a kind of left wingy and like actually like socialisty rock band that sounded because unfortunately Gord Downie died of brain cancer a few years ago. It was devastating. He was the lead singer. Sounds a little bit like REM, a like slightly folksier REM, and they have these like some incredible songs, beautiful Canadiana. No crossover whatsoever. Like
Interesting.
I was, sh I, and like they're so big in Canada that when Gord Downie was dying, they did like a final Canadian tour, and it was televised across the country. It was like this: the Prime Minister was there, which is like our president, not for long though. He was there, Prime Minister haircut, and like it was like a big thing. I watched it from, I think this was in 2015. I lived in Germany at this point, and I watched it. It was like a big deal. Not even a moment down here. So Mary Zilba, it's very possible that she is like a thing that I just don't recall that is like circulating through Canada, but
It looks like she's sort of a country adjacent singer. She had a song in
that makes sense.
2013 that was number one in Canada on the country music charts called Hero.
Hero. That sounds
I don't
fake.
know. I mean, she also she it, it's it is giving. I mean, she does give a little bit of like a Shania Twain understudy
Oh,
energy a little
well,
bit.
we love, but that's the thing. We have Shania, Timmins, Ontario, which is a terrible city. I'm sorry, guys. That place is so cold.
Well, you know, the best country singers come from terrible cities, I
Well,
think.
you have to. You can't hit that twangy voice without
No.
coming from a place that sucks.
So Mary is a mom to three boys. She definitely or not, she definitely gives boy mom energy. She also gives like very like archetypal MILF energy. Like she looks like your friend's mom who was like just really hot. She acts
She
that way.
does.
She gives that for sure. Fun fact about Mary, didn't realize this until I just looked at her Wikipedia page now. She is of Syrian and Lebanese descent,
Which, yeah, very
which
interesting.
we have to talk about on the show. It's impossible to know anyone's ethnicity on The Real Housewives of Vancouver because they all have the same horrible blonde dye jobs. Something is happening in Vancouver. There is some salon that is responsible for turning these women into horrific brassy clones of each other. They all have the same hair color, and it's all in like a terrible shade of blonde, like a weird, almost like
Yes.
brass instrument blonde.
Yeah, it
That
was, I will say this was kind of a thing in Canada at this point.
it's horrific. I mean, poor
It's a
Reiko
bad
has the
blonde.
she has the worst one.
Oh, and hers just washes her skin out.
Yes, it's awful. But Ronnie has the same color. Ronnie is terrifying. I know Jody is terrifying, but Jody is like a Komodo dragon. You're like, I know that bitch is dangerous. I'm gonna stay
Yeah.
away.
Yeah.
Ronnie is like the rattlesnake you don't see coming, because this woman immediately terrifies. The way she talks about all of them, I mean, she so clearly has barely contained contempt for every
Yeah.
single woman that she meets. If I hear someone say, "I don't really do girl weekends," I'm like, "Oh, okay,
Yeah. Well, that's a,
you
yeah, oh, for sure. Well,
hate
that's, and that's a, the interesting thing about the sort of time period this is
women."
taking place. Because this comes out into 2012, likely filmed in 2011, we're in that kind of, not only are we in Canada, but we're in that kind of weird time that's like sort of post sleazy women culture, you know, with like the Paris Hilton-y kind of ideas. So we're kind of post that, but we're pre what will go on to be called Gamergate alt-right, and now what is
And
worse, just like trad wives.
pre-girl boss a little bit
And
too.
yeah, and also pre-girl boss. We're sort of before all of that, but post that sleazy kind of era. And so there's the idea of like a girl's girl, like some a woman who supports women just because they're women, not quite a thing that was happening in mainstream culture at this point in Canada or the States. Like that just really wasn't what was on the menu. And that sort of like, yeah, I don't really do girls' weekends sort of thing, that's was kind of par for the course
It
at that
was,
point. Like I'm like, you
girls are
know,
drama.
high drama,
I
which,
just
you know,
get along
fun.
better with guys because I have brothers.
Hardcore, and it's in the notes, but like hardcore boy mom
Boy mom
thing.
energy for sure. Next you meet Reiko, and I loved the way that Jody described Reiko, which is, quote, "She's phenomenal, she's spiritual, she's strong."
Question mark.
It is
Spiritual.
unclear if Jody likes Reiko or fucking hates her, because she has a great way. Jody is so skilled at this. She has a great way of complimenting someone and then immediately negging them with on the basis of the same quality. Like she when later on when her and Reiko were testing the food
True.
in the hotel room, she was like, "Oh, you're so skinny. I'm like, I don't want you to like I need you to eat something because you're so skinny." And then she was like, "The reason I like Reiko is because she has a voracious appetite. Like she'll just eat anything."
It was yes, it's very,
She's a terrorist.
she's a terrorist. She's an emotional terrorist.
Absolutely is.
Yes, absolutely. And I cannot wait to see how this develops. I really can't, 'cause she's so mean.
Yeah, she is. I do like Reiko. I would say at this point in the episode, if I was like ranking all the women I had met, I mean, Mary kind of seems like a non-entity, like just filler a little bit. But I guess if I had to pick one, I kind of like Reiko. Her hair is so awful. It's so bad. It's the
It was
worst
wasn't
shade of
good.
blonde I've ever seen in my life. It's
It
just,
it's washing her out
it
so
is.
brutally that it's hard to tell that she's Asian.
Yes, she's fully Japanese.
Like, okay. It's very strange.
They were also very critical of her body. They were like, "Oh my God, she's so skinny." I'm like, "She's very muscular and athletic, but I didn't get the sense that she was rail thin. I just got the sense that she's in phenomenal shape."
Yes. Well, this is another thing that's part of that era, is like, is still, it's still being totally socially acceptable to comment on
Michelle
women's
Obama's
bodies.
arms.
And that part of this era is that coming to an end, but it's, there's a reason that we have a trope now called the almond mom, which is a thing, who a mom that's directly in and of this era, that is like, oh, you're not really hungry, you just eat a couple of and that's what these women are like.
A little bit, yeah. Although I do get the sense that Reiko was just like in phenomenal shape, and she
Yeah, I
probably
think
eats
she's
a lot
just
because she burns
a
a shit
fit
ton of
gal.
calories.
Yeah,
Yeah.
she's just a fit chick. Like,
Yeah.
that's what
Whereas
that
like
is.
Jody is the one who's built like a Skeksis from the Dark Crystal. It's like you don't know what's under all those layers of
Oh my God.
ornamentation. She's just
No, it's
this
true.
emaciated bird creature that's just covered in layers and layers of fabric.
My God. I mean, she dresses in a way that Jody dresses in a way that you could be like, yeah, what does she look like under there?
No, just like a literally like a chicken without feathers, I'm guessing.
That's what it feels like. It's true.
Reiko was my favorite until we met Christina.
I
Who
adore Christina.
Christina is fantastic. She immediately I was like, this is Samantha Jones 40 years before 30 years before Sex in the City or whatever. She claims she's only 29. I have my doubts.
Yeah, that
Which we're
she
gonna
was,
get into.
yeah.
This comes back in the episode in a wild way. The veracity of Christina's self-proclaimed age. I was really confused by her accent, so I did some
Yes.
Googling. She is Australian, which once I
Which.
found that out, it made sense because she has that uptick at the end of every she ends every sentence like this, which is
Yeah,
very
that's true.
Australian. Yeah.
That's true. Because I was struggling to place that accent. I was like, is
I
she
was like,
German?
I guess I thought European for a moment, but
Yeah, is she
she's
like
Australian.
Czech?
She's Australian, but she's trying to
Australian.
depress her Australian accent a little bit, I think, which is how you get this strange
This unidentifiable.
Ivanka Trump kind of effect,
Lilt.
affectation. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's very strange.
But now that you know that she's Australian, you're going to hear it. Like, fun fact about the Australian uptalk, the Valley Girl accent apparently was imported to Southern California because of Australian surfers who came to like Santa Monica in the 1950s and 60s and dated all these Californian girls who then started talking like this.
Oh no.
Yeah. So thanks Christina, Canadian Samantha Jones. I love how she described her gold digging habits, which was I was married to two very irritating men.
I have to stand. I have to respect it. I mean, just and she and
Yeah.
like the little comments that are peppered through with her, where she's like, what did she say? There was one point she said something that just ha like just grabbed me by the soul, where she was like, why would I spend my money when I can spend theirs?
Yeah.
And I
And
was like, yes.
please credit Lil' Kim when you quote her.
Well,
Why spend
look.
mine when I can spend yours?
Well, yeah, it's true, but it was just so like, yes. Whatever you
Yes.
are, I don't care if you're
Whatever you're
29, I don't
doing,
care if you're
yeah.
49, whatever you're doing, keep it up. I like it.
Yeah, I'm only comfortable saying this because I know some I've researched some things about Christina because I found her so fascinating and I got this sense from her initially, but I wouldn't say this unless I had something to back it up because I don't make a business of speculating on people's sexuality. But I definitely got the sense that she is maybe a lipstick lesbian man eater who dates very rich men and then does whatever she wants on the side. She is
Oh my
bisexual. She is a she is
God,
a
that's
she's
so
a queer
cool.
she's a queer queen. But I immediately got this like vibe of like, oh, you don't even like men. You just use them. And I love that.
Yeah, like that is like, I mean, Christina's queer revolutionary history. You know, there's Stonewall and there's
There's Marsha P.
Christina.
Johnson and there's Christina from
That's
Vancouver.
right.
There's Christina Tina from Vancouver.
Tina from Vancouver. Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, I wouldn't speculate on sexuality, but there was something very like not about men about her
I got
sexuality.
a twinkle of sapphism, and I needed to investigate, and now I'm comfortable articulating my suspicions because I was right. She
That is
is,
so cool.
she's part of the team. There's a lot of lunches in this episode, even more so than Salt Lake City. A lot of they
Lot
went
of
from like
lunching.
lunch to lunch to lunch to lunch to lunch,
A lot of lunch.
We've discussed this before. We love a Housewives franchise that feels like a satire or a parody of Housewives,
Yes.
and this very much feels like that.
Yes.
Before, frankly, there was enough Housewives content in the ether to parody, which is
Right.
kind of genius. But that may
Yes.
be part of the reason why there are so many sit-down meals in this episode, because as we know, the best things in the Housewives happen around a table, in
Around
my
a table. It's
experience.
very important. It's a, yeah.
I'm loving what we learn. Ronnie and Mary have like some sort of lunch together, and I guess they have some history as friends, frenemies. It's not entirely clear. Apparently, Mary is cheating with her ex-husband who cheated on her. Like, she's somehow gotten her husband who left her for another woman to cheat on the other woman with her, which is exactly what I want in a
Ten out
housewife
of ten.
storyline. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
No
And
notes.
like that's real lovers shit. Like that's
Yes.
real,
It's
that's real
complicated. Isn't that
romance.
the entire not isn't that the entire not it's complicated. Yeah, it's complicated. That's the entire plot line for It's Complicated with is it Meryl Streep and Alec Baldwin and
Oh,
Steve Martin?
right.
Yeah, which is a great movie as far as
Yes, that's
Nancy
right.
Myers movies go. But
I
she, yeah.
completely forgot that.
Alec Baldwin leaves her for Lake Bell, and then he starts having an affair with her once he realizes that she's this like, she's blossoming into post-50s
Well, it's what
womanhood.
happens when you get your groove back. But this is the thing. This is real lovers.
Yes.
This is not just like, and like, look, I know people get hurt. It's messy. It's all this stuff. Yes, of course you should, not cheat. Cheating's bad, blah, blah,
Yeah.
blah, blah, blah. But I always love a story where two people were together, one cheats, leaves, goes off, and they circle back and they
Yeah.
keep doing this. It's,
It's
it's
so messy.
just,
It's beautifully
it's so
messy.
messy. It's so human. It feels very mid-century also. It feels
Oh,
very,
yeah.
very like French in a good way, not in a in the
Yeah.
usual French way.
It feels like it feels like a Woody Allen movie without the grossness of a Woody Allen movie.
Of Woody Allen.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
And that's just it.
It's
Is
a Diane Keaton movie.
I have to stand that kind of a move. It's very powerful.
Yeah.
'Cause also, fuck that bitch. She fucked your husband.
It pumps a lot of veracity into the saying how you get him is how you'll lose him.
How you'll lose him every
Yeah.
time.
Yeah.
Every time. Exactly. And so, like, yeah, I just have to enjoy this. It's a very, it's very like, it's very romantic in a way we don't get anymore because everybody's very focused on like the trauma and he cheated and he did this and he did that and because it's usually about men who cheat, let's be serious. Yeah, I think
Yeah,
it's great.
the ex-wife becoming the other woman is there's a
Oh.
poetry to that it's like I said, it's exactly what I want to see in a housewife storyline.
And it is so sexy.
It's so sexy. And
Come
the
on.
only thing is it's kind of wasted on Mary because Mary is not this like sex kitten,
No.
you know who I would love this for? Heather Gay. This would make
This
Heather
is
Gay,
what I'm talking about.
instead of Heather Gay just producing everyone else's drama and storylines, if Heather Gay became the other woman for her ex-Mormon husband, I would be
Yeah.
like, hell yeah, Heather, get your
I would
groove.
love that, but he's gross.
I
That's
don't
the
right
thing.
now, yeah. I know we saw him on screen, but I cannot conjure an image of what that man looked like.
He
It
looks
just
a bit like a drowned rat. It's not good.
God.
It's you need to actually you all not only is this sexy, but in order for it to really be sexy, you got to be really good looking. Heather
Okay.
could pull it off.
Sort of like a Kyle and Mauricio situation where they're both attractive and
Yes.
yeah, okay.
And it needs he needs to be attractive, not in like a Oh, I kind of see it. Wait, it has to be a sort of a
An
universal,
irresistible kind of like
very
Dennis Quaid
sexy.
in the 90s kind of thing. Yeah.
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 And it, like the thing about it, I think the thing about that is that it can, they don't have to be the man
You know what it
in
is?
particular.
It is quite literally the dynamic between was it Natasha who played the mom in Parent Trap? Natasha, she got
Exactly.
died in the skiing
Natasha
accident.
Richardson. Yep.
Natasha Richardson, Dennis Quaid in that movie.
Perfect.
So
That's
sexy.
right.
It's
That's
yes.
right.
That like kind of like
Exactly.
they call each other like they say like hey kid, you know what I mean? Like that
Yeah.
kind of yeah.
Yeah, because
There's
that's
like the history is
the
there and
history's
the yeah.
there, and it's like
It's a
no,
little
it's
bit, I have to say it's a little bit like a little there's shades of like Prince Charles and Lady Di in there a little bit.
little bit, but
A little
he's
bit.
yucky.
I know, yes, but
He's
there
very
that
yucky, but yes, same idea.
cutting
You
your hair
need
short,
that.
blossoming into middle-aged elegance, and
Yes, this is
suddenly he's
only a
like,
thing. This is only a this is post 40s sexiness. This is post
yes.
40. You can only do this when you're older than I am. That's when this occurs. That's what who this is for, and it is incredibly hot.
Yes,
Love
yes.
it. Love the idea of it. Can't wait for my husband to cheat on me so that we can do this later. This is what it's all about. This is what I'm going for.
Yeah.
This is what I'm going for.
It's very much that energy of remember, I think I told you this, like Michael, Sarah, and Aubrey Plaza getting married and then immediately getting a divorce so that Aubrey could say I have an ex-husband and like
Ex-husband.
really enjoying
Oh,
that. It
sweet
is,
Aubrey
yeah, it's
Plaza.
wonderful to be able to say I have an ex-husband or an ex-wife. That's very sophisticated.
It's as you once said to me when I talked about my ex-husband, it's very
Yeah,
chic.
it is very chic. It's so chic to have an
It's so
ex-husband.
chic.
Yeah. Yeah, I love everything about that. I would love to be a stepfather. I think that is my I just like that dynamic of I don't know why. There's like a maturity to it that I appreciate. I would like to be the stepfather in a situation where the exes are like good friends. There's a good deal of maturity in the
Yeah.
dynamic. I think
There was
that's
a true
so
conscious uncoupling.
yes, that is so sophisticated. It's just like it's the relational equivalent of a dirty martini.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. But that's just it. There is a classic sexiness to all of this
Yeah.
that I love. This is exactly this is the life I'm envisioning.
It's clean mess.
It's exactly. It
Yeah.
is exactly the right kind of mess. It isn't, it doesn't make you feel gross. It's
No.
not dirty. It's messy.
Yes, it's messy. There's a poetry to it. It's clean at the same time.
Exactly. This is what
Yeah.
I'm talking about. This is all that I want.
It just makes sense. Yeah. I as much as I love that, my favorite thing in this entire episode was Jody walking in to the Asian market, ostensibly speaking Cantonese. I
I
don't
mean, I
know.
can't verify it.
I don't know. It sounded right, but for all I know, she could be completely making every word up. She was really confident. And her pronunciation seemed okay. Yeah.
Reasonable.
They
I'm no judge. I can't speak Cantonese. I can't speak Mandarin. I have no idea.
didn't even throw,
But,
but they didn't even throw subtitles on that bitch. Like they just let her go.
which is what I, which is, does make me wonder
If she was
if
just, it was just
she was just sort of
gobbledygook.
babbling.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is another thing about a certain age of, and I don't have enough, I don't have enough exposure to this kind of woman in the United States, which sounds weird, but it's true.
I know what you're saying. I know where you're
But
going
there's
with
a
this.
particular kind of Canadian woman of a certain age, and this is exactly this, that has a fucking babbling problem.
A fucking babbling problem, but also a problem of like
Being racist.
you go to an
It's
ethnic
not good.
restaurant and they're like,
Oh.
"Where are you from, Ahmed?"
Exactly. No, but like, where are you really from?
It's a beautiful name, Fatima.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And there's a babble that I could believe is a very strange incursion of this
Yeah.
into the ethnicity question that they love to ask. Oh, where does that name come from? I have no idea. Where are you from? Oh, yeah, well, but where are you really from? Well, no, but where are your parents from? It's
Yeah.
like,
And you know, every single person who works in that store was engaging with her under extreme duress.
Well, with cameras in there?
Extreme duress. They were all terrified. At the end,
Not.
she demands a hug from a guy and says, "I know it's not a part of your culture, but hug me."
Girl. Whoa. That's scary. Don't
I
do
mean,
that.
as Erica Jane would say, it's I don't think it's a microaggression anymore. I think it's
No. We're it's
macro.
macro
It's
now.
macro.
That's a real problem. You can't be doing that. That's ooh. It's nearly sexual harassment. Like,
It was so menacing and sinister, but I also kind of loved
yeah,
it.
it's magical. It was magical, really.
She's a great villain. I mean, she has not gotten her flowers. I mean, within 20 minutes of this episode starting, I'm like, oh, if she were on a US housewife show, she would be like legendary. Like Danielle Staub,
Yeah.
like in that Hall of Fame of Bravo villains, but because she was on Slice, didn't happen for her. The girls' weekend gets underway. Starts with this food tasting. First, I want to note that like all of these women seem to be perplexed by the concept of a girls' weekend. They like do not get it. They're like, okay, yeah, I've never been on a girls' weekend before. I'm like, it's just women
It's just hanging out with your girls. What are
hanging
you talking
out
about?
in a second location.
That's all it
That's
is.
all it is.
It's really not, it's not a complex idea. It's barely even interesting. It's just hanging out with your girlfriends. Like, what?
One thing I gotta say is Jody must be a special kind of heinous, because if anyone makes me that amount of food, and the food looked pretty good, that is the way to my, like, if you provide me with an insane amount of food, like, I'm gonna love you forever. You could be a horrible person, but if that's how I meet you, that's my entree into your life, you providing a smorgasbord of appetizers and beautiful like little chicken satay skewers and
Yeah, that's
foie gras,
right.
like I'm going to love you forever. So she must be so horrible for the women to not be feeling her whatsoever. But to be fair,
Yeah.
throughout this entire thing, she's throwing underhanded comments out at like rapid fire speed.
It's like talking about the way they're engaging with the food. Like,
It was like a
you
test.
know, it was it made me inc like I when I was watching this episode, I immediately texted Jake and was like, yo, this has some of the most diabolical energy. And I texted you right in that mo in the moment with the where the spreads are being shown and they're starting to eat, and Jody is like saying things about the way that they're eating, and I'm just like,
Yes, it honestly felt a bit like, okay, let's see who has an eating disorder.
that's what, and that's exactly what it was. It was who has an eating disorder and who doesn't that I can give one to.
Yes, and also I have one, so I'm gonna make you all eat in front of me so that
That's
I can
right.
scratch some sort of itch.
Yeah, it was cr a crazy humiliation ritual. Like,
Kind of also a little bit of weird
yeah, very strange.
feederism
Well, yeah,
going
I
on.
mean, this is
She was like, Reiko's appetite is huge. It's huge. I was like, are you turned on right now?
yeah.
Like, are you
Okay.
enjoying this?
Do you need to
Reiko is hot. You clearly enjoy watching her eat.
do you need 10 minutes alone? Like,
Also, like,
we
how
can all
does,
go.
yeah, I mean, now I don't know if I want to touch the
Yeah, what were you doing with it?
food.
Oh no.
I will say Ronnie, because I bet, game recognizes game, evil recognizes evil. Ronnie, like, immediately clocked, I think, what was going on and was like, I'm not gonna eat any of this. She's like, I'm gonna have some champagne. I'm not gonna eat any of this.
Yeah, I'm not touching any of that.
No. From the food tasting, they go to another lunch.
Hell yeah, so much lunch.
So much food. And then they immediately went to dinner. Christina orders some cocktail called the Trophy Wife, which they all hate. Jody describes it, the foam on top. It has like egg whites on top, I'm
Yeah,
guessing.
it's like a it's a Pisco
Which
something or
maybe is
other.
how what she was described, but she described it as whipped boiled baby bird.
This,
Which
yeah,
maybe she
what?
meant, maybe she was thought she was saying egg in a cute way. I mean, it did look like whipped egg whites. I will
Yeah,
give her that, but why describe it that way? Like a fucking Disney witch.
yeah, well, I mean, if the cauldron fits in the
If
corner, like my
yeah,
God.
she does give intense like Rapunzel's witchy stepmother vibes. Like
Yeah, she's the wicked bitch of the West,
she
is what she
of
is.
West Vancouver. It's
Exactly.
everything from like the way her face is shaped, the heavy eyelids, the it's all it's very witchy. It's giving the Wicked Witch of British Columbia.
Yes. It's
The
evil.
yeah, and also the I was bowled over that Mary and I have the exact same philosophy on not eating cows. Literally the same. I screamed when she said it's because they have eyelashes. I was like, that's why I won't eat cows. That's literally why I won't do it, because they have beautiful eyelashes.
They do have beautiful
They have
eyelashes.
beautiful, gorgeous eyelashes. My rule is I don't eat anything that has eyelashes or has the propensity to grow eyelashes. So just fish and birds. Yeah.
Eat anything.
But
I'll eat one of those cars with eyelashes. I don't
seriously,
mind.
this is, I mean, this puts a lot of people off eating red meat, is just having a wonderful encounter with a cow, because
And
cows
I love
are,
cows.
they're so wonderful.
They're great animals.
Yeah.
They're lovely, they're sweet, they're cute.
They're so cute.
They're very cuddly.
They're very
I love
cuddly. They're
cows.
very docile. They're very curious. They're very interested in what you're doing. They will
And
follow
quite
you around.
smart.
Yes.
They're quite smart. I agree.
Yeah.
Still gonna eat them. I'm fine with being a bad guy on this. I don't mind.
It's all right. It's for me. I don't. I'm not a vegan, but I am a. I'm not a. I am an anti-pork, anti-red meat guy. But I. It's just for me. I
It's
tend my.
okay.
I tend my own garden, as Voltaire
Tend
would
your
say.
and I tend mine. I would never convince you to do one thing or another. I too love cows. I think they're amazing. And I think the eyelash rule is kind of okay, that's you know what? That kind of makes sense. I
Yeah.
don't believe in the I won't eat anything with a face.
No, I'll eat something with, I mean, listen, fish have 3 second memories. They have barely have nervous systems. I don't mind eating a fish. I
Right.
also, and I, it's
Have you
not
ever
even,
looked a chicken in the face?
well, okay, I'm struggling with chickens. I don't really want to talk about it, because I have met some chickens that are really lovely. So I struggle with chickens. I even struggle with turkey. My dad is a big conservationist, and he's borderline vegan. He basically only eats tuna. And even with that, he has a lot of rules about what kind of tuna he'll eat. It has to be wild caught. Same with salmon. He sends me a lot of videos of animals that I shouldn't be eating, and the propaganda works.
Oh.
Turkeys, especially baby turkeys, are really cute. I saw a video of like a turkey and a dog that are friends. That's rough. Anything that can be friends with a dog, I don't really want to eat. So I'm struggling with chickens and poultry.
Okay.
I certainly won't
Okay.
eat a duck, because they're so funny.
Oh.
I can't eat a duck. I
No
know. But
comment.
fortunately, I don't even like the flavor of duck, so it's okay. It's
Okay.
not an intelligence thing, because I won't eat octopi, but not because they're smart. It's because I'm terrified of an octopus. And I don't like the texture. Same with
See,
squid.
I like squid. I won't eat octopus in part because of the intelligence, because
Fair.
it's like it surpasses like cows, it
No, the
surpasses pigs.
intelligence makes me want to kill them all. Stay
No,
in
I
the
love
ocean.
them.
Stay in the ocean. Mind your business. Don't come up here. I won't go
They're
down there.
wonderful. But I also don't like the texture.
They have
I think
beaks.
it's
They have
they
beaks.
do have beaks.
Oh, that's horrifying.
I have an octopus tattoo. I
I'm
love them.
ter I'm terrified of octopuses. I don't like it. I if you want to have a civilization down at the bottom of the ocean, that's fine with me. But you stay there. I stay up here. We don't meet.
They're quite friendly,
I don't
actually.
care. I don't want to experience that friendliness.
Okay.
Stay away from me. There's that video of the
Mm.
octopus that keeps escaping from its tank. Nightmare. Nightmare.
Oh, interesting.
I don't want to be within a 500-mile radius of that thing. Stay away from me. I don't even want to go into an aquarium anymore, because I know there'll be an octopus in there, and it's going to be watching me with its little eyes and changing colors like a psychopath. I don't like
Wow. Wow, I did not know this about you.
No.
And
But I love seals, and I love otters, because they kill those things. They eat squid, they eat octopuses. Octopuses, I don't know. There's also,
octopuses, but
right, it's like hippopotamuses is actually supposed to be hippopotamuses, not hippopotami. It's like,
something like this, yeah. I
yeah.
mean, I can't say on the hippopotamus front, because they frighten me. Mu
Oh,
Yang,
yeah.
adorable,
Yeah,
but I'm
yeah,
not
yeah,
fucking
yeah.
with no big hippo. Those
Well,
things are, they, first of all, they can bite you in half.
oh,
Like, I
yeah, for
don't think
sure,
people
for
know
sure.
that.
Yeah. But
They
also,
can,
but
and they're
they,
aggressive.
yeah, but they give, like, if I see a hippopotamus from a distance, I'm like, oh, yeah, that looks like a dangerous animal. I'm not going
Yeah,
anywhere
that's a
near that.
problem for me. Yeah,
If I see a
sure.
little octopus, like, oh, I feel like an octopus could, like, face hug me like an alien. And I, no, I don't want it. I don't want it anywhere near me. I don't want it wrapping its tentacles around my arms and taking its little beak. And, oh, no, just, ugh. Anyway. Vancouver.
Vancouver.
Whipped boiled baby bird.
Why would she say that? That is an ink.
That felt almost
That was. It was too.
Tourette-y.
Okay. It was just too much.
Just felt like
It's.
a it felt like an it felt like an impulsive it felt like a an intrusive thought that she
It
articulated.
did that she brought out into the world,
Yeah,
which she never should have.
should not have said Tourette-y. I meant an intrusive thought that was articulated. I
It's
apologize
okay.
to the Tourette's
You can.
community.
It can be edited out. It's fine. I didn't tweet anything about it. It's okay. But it does have the, but it also, which was interesting about it is it smacked of the kind of thing that some vegans will say about chicken eggs,
That it's baby
which is
bird, but
that
they're not
it's
even
like
fertilized.
a bird period, like menstrual period, which it's like
Fine
it's
with that. Don't
kind of,
care. I'll eat it. They're
it's like
delicious.
not. And also,
It's delicious,
who
period.
care? What's wrong with you? This is why no one likes you vegans. I'm sorry.
Well, here's the thing. I like the vegans that are really about animal welfare.
Who like
I
break them out of labs?
that, but also like who stand on business and are like, I'm not doing this for health reasons. Like, I don't care because I hate people who are on the carnivore diet with every ounce of my
I
being.
mean,
I really hate them. And I also feel like a lot of carnivore diet influencers are not actually on the carnivore diet. Like, girl, you are not eating 2 sticks of butter a day. Shut the fuck up.
yeah, it's a lie.
But
It's
it's
nonsense.
a lie. And also, if that's really what you're eating, I know you smell like rancid hot dog water. So stay away from me. But the thing that carnivore influencers often say about vegans is like, oh, it's not healthy. It's not good for you. We're meant to eat meat. That's not the point of veganism.
No.
Like, what are you? No one cares if it's healthy. It's about not wanting to eat animals. And for me, I don't eat red meat and pigs because I like cows and pigs. It's not about like my protein intake or my health.
Yeah, it's not
And
about
so
cholesterol or anything like that.
I like the vegans who are like, who are like doing it on for moral reasons. I'm not a huge fan of the vegans who are like, everything gives you cancer. You should only eat raw vegetables. That's,
Yeah,
you know.
you that's and that is really where there's like a real divide is, and it tends to fall along people who say that they eat a plant-based diet versus vegans.
Yeah.
Vegans are it like
There's a
that is a political
philosophy.
it's a
There's a
political
philosophy.
position.
Yes.
And I have a
Plant-based is a is an influencing career.
that's right. And I do have a certain amount of respect, for example, for vegans who yeah, who are like part of like Animal Liberation Front, like ALF.
Yeah.
I have a huge amount of respect for that. I for the most part wish them nothing but the best. I just don't
Want to hear about it?
I don't well
Yeah,
not usually, but I also why are we I did this. I did this. This is my fault. I talked about vegans first. This is me. But I also don't like the comparison between slaves and animals. I do, and a lot of the political vegans will make that move, and I don't like that move. I don't have a lot of truck with that move. It's not a good one. It's not even that
Yeah, we can
intelligent.
have different things. Let's
You
just
can
have two
care. You
different
could
things.
care about animals specifically because they're not
Yes.
human. That's fine.
Right.
You can care about humans because they are. That's it.
Oh,
That's the end
that's
of the
so
argument.
troubling, especially because the whole argument against slavery is that like humans have sentience and like shouldn't it's anyway, okay.
Long,
Look at a Real
long.
Housewives of Vancouver getting
Yeah, here
it's
we
just
go.
cracking open all the big issues.
Oh.
My takeaway from this like third or fourth lunch they've had is that these women are fucking terrifying.
Yeah,
Ronnie
they're
seems to
scary.
despise everyone at the table. There's this like beautiful dance that they're all engaging in where they're all just like bringing up all these underhanded things about each other over like a random lunch just to provoke each other, which I think is so fun. Ronnie like randomly brings up Mary's breakup again. It's She's like immediately put on her back feet. Christina comes in, and I guess we learn that Ronnie's ex dated Christina. And this was the darkest conversation of the episode. It was so strange. Christina claims she's 29 years old, about to be 30 at the time this is being filmed. I have my doubts. But apparently she dated Ronnie's ex-husband like 15 years ago, which would have made her 14 years old, which is wild. And it was hard to say from the editing whether what I believe is the women don't actually think Christina was dating this man when she was 15 years old. I think the women think she was lying about her age, but the editors probably thought it was more interesting for the conversation to be framed around whether Christina was a child bride.
Right.
Right.
So, yeah. How that would work, I don't know, because that
Or
woman.
Ronnie was exaggerating how long ago it happened, also. That
Right.
could be a thing.
That is also definitely possible. Between being Australian and having dated someone ostensibly when you were 14 seems wrong.
It seems wrong. It's giving Epstein.
Yeah, it's right. Unless this man brought her
Well,
from
also,
Australia.
it's, and I don't know anything, I don't know if this is true, but she does, in the way that Jody gives off this very contrived upper class aura, Christina seems, I would not be surprised if she's from like Australian, like cattle ranching
Wealth.
wealth. Like she seems to
Yeah.
like carry herself and speak like a woman who went to boarding school. She talked about having horses her entire life. I mean,
Yeah,
that tends to be a
and
giveaway.
she is she's also an equestrian,
She's an equestrian. Also, like when you find people who are like from the Commonwealth, who are like flitting around other Commonwealth states kind of seemingly with ease and without having
and
to go
with
through the
no
visa,
job
no
and
job, has a car, she owns property in Canada. Like
yeah.
it's giving like old, what do we say, that old money from that island, from
Old money
that
from that island. That's
island that
right.
has dispersed through the empire and now can move through the former empire with ease, probably based on investments and property they own. And she seems to be involved with some mining wealth to some
Yeah,
degree.
she
So
definitely has that kind of air, and she doesn't have the air of someone who has from the washed up on the shores of Vancouver at
no.
17. And, kind of made her way to
Right.
marrying these two
A
people. It
mogul or
doesn't
something. Yeah. No,
have that energy.
it's
She
giving
very
private
much
school.
has,
Yeah.
yep, absolutely rarefied air. She's been
Which,
like,
and the reason I bring this up is that it's entirely possible that she has been exposed to older, very wealthy men for a
when she
very
was
long
very young.
time when she was very young. And I mean, she's very beautiful. She's probably always been very beautiful. She carries herself with a maturity and
For
a
sure.
worldliness that may have made it so that her 19-year-old self was projecting an age that was much older than she actually was. So I'm guessing the truth is somewhere lost in the mix. And maybe she did, she probably did date Ronnie's ex. She probably wasn't 15. She was probably closer to like 19, 21, something like that. And she may also be lying about her age. She may actually be like 33, 34, 35 years old, not 29.
Yeah, it's definitely possible.
This was
I
also in an
don't.
era, I think, was where it was sort of the end of an era where it was possible to lie about your age.
Yes, that's the other thing, is
Now it's not really possible,
it's
especially if you have a
not super
public platform,
possible. No.
as Heather Gay has demonstrated.
Diabolical.
Can't do it.
But also, and also, I was looking up who this Christina woman was as well last night. And she also is still very hesitant to be on social media. She's very, and she has a certain kind of, like, you can see it in her confessionals. There's a certain kind of awkwardness that isn't like, oh, I'm shy, or oh, I don't want
It's
to.
sheltered a little bit.
It's a little bit sheltered and a little bit, I might be doing something I maybe that maybe doesn't accord with
I didn't tell mom and dad that I signed this
where I how I
contract.
was raised.
Yeah.
And
But
then on
nobody's gonna
top of
know because I'm on Slice in Canada.
I'm on Slice in Canada, in Vancouver. Oh my God. But yeah, she get definitely gives that kind of this kind of there's a certain amount of like hesitance to be on the camera in that way, but she's also quite good at it, and she's quite a natural with it, which suggests she's been like she's had certain kinds of attention on her for a very long time. And yeah, and she's an interesting figure. She's an interesting little character.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be a lot of information on her or her family, which also
Suggests
suggests wealth.
and yeah, a different kind of wealth than most of the
Yeah.
housewives.
I will also say, not to talk too much about the women's appearances, but there is sometimes you can assess someone's wealth and the length of time they have been wealthy by the quality of their plastic surgery.
100%.
And she has definitely had plastic surgery, but you can tell that is a nose job that was obtained at a very young age, and maybe a chin implant, things that were given as like sweet 16 birthday gifts, whereas Mary Zilba's plastic surgery is sort of more of a late in life injectable type.
I think also too, the other thing that could be playing havoc with her how old Christina is, how old she looks, because she also doesn't look 29. If you start doing fillers and Botox really young,
Yeah, it can age you.
it ages you fast.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. And if you start doing certain kinds of skin treatments really young because you have access to them, it can age you very fast. And she does not look 29. I'm sorry to say.
She doesn't.
She
But also, you know,
doesn't.
Kim Zolciak was 29 when she started the show, and everyone thought she was lying about her age, and it has since been confirmed that she was
Confirmed.
indeed 29 when she joined the show. But she wore a lot of makeup, she smoked a lot. Like, there are
That doesn't
things that
help.
can, and also I will say, you know, again, when we're talking about ends of eras, 2010, 2011 was kind of, I always think looking back that people our age 20 years ago looked a lot older than we look now, and there have been studies done on this that, you know, we're not smoking cigarettes, we're vaping. We're not smoking cigarettes as much, we're wearing sunscreen, we're staying indoors more. There are a lot of things that are contributing to the Paul Ruddification of the millennial generation, which I think these women is, and Christina was maybe like just at the early cusp of that. Where, you know, again, 20 years ago, people her age, people 29 looked a bit older than what 29 passes for today.
It's definitely that's definitely also playing a role. That is playing a role here for sure. And also too, I mean, the other thing that happens is that, haircuts that people had at a certain point pass out of fashion. And so it and that and those haircuts as they be, for example, become associated with people who are older, and suddenly they age you. And
Yeah, a little bit.
like this is all like it's all of this sort of moving together. I still don't buy that she's 29.
No, I guess I don't
I
either.
really
But
don't.
I'm kind
I'm
of fascinated. If
sorry.
she is super wealthy, I am f like independently wealthy, or at least from a like an upper class family, which I think she is. It's really fascinating that she has tried to brand herself as a gold digger, which, to me, it seems like she's kind of assuming that identity a little bit because it's fun and she likes getting a rise out of people, which is something that a rich person would do. Like, I know this offends people, so I'm gonna lean into this and really, like, you can tell she, and I think she's, and I'm guessing she's gonna butt heads with Jody a lot, because you can tell she, in a way, Ronnie enjoys getting under people's skin in a way that's very mean. And I think Christina enjoys kind of showcasing the absurdity of the other women's attitudes by getting under their skin. It's a little bit more about entertainment factor for her, I think. Whereas for Ronnie, it's about establishing dominance, and it's about rubbing someone's face in something and kind of establishing herself as top dog. And Christina is just out here like, okay, you think I'm a gold digger? We can run with that. Like,
Yeah, we could
let's
do that. And
have
also, I
fun with
mean,
it.
Look, it can also be a way to sort of misdirect who she really is.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
I think that's definitely possible. As I, wrap my tinfoil hat right around my head, I think that's definitely possible. I'd be curious to know. I really would.
Part of it may also be, I don't know if Kiesel is her
Real
maybe
name.
it may be one of the names that she got through marrying one of these irritating men. We end the episode with another sit-down meal after riding the gondola up the mountain in Whistler. I didn't love the end of the episode because it sort of felt like I don't fully understand why the other women don't like Mary. It seems to be this her inability to stay away from this man that's like not good for her. But I also don't believe that Ronnie or Jody actually care about Mary's well-being. It just seems
No.
it felt a little contrived, a
It
little like
did.
we're
It
searching
did.
for conflict. But I think it showed us a lot that was quite telling about, in particular, Jody's personality, which is like she gets cantankerous.
Yeah.
It it's a little frightening. It
She is not a good human being. That
doesn't
is a
seem like
bad
it.
person.
And she's not even drinking. Like she was giving this like reaction that's like, like Dorinda, like she's starting. Like once you get a couple of glasses of wine in her, she starts getting a little,
The
the
tornado starts
Dornado
to
starts
go.
whipping around. It's like she goes zero to Dornado, but without any substance. Being introduced into the system. It's just like that's her natural
Which
state,
this is just who she is,
which
which
is
is that's
terrifying.
scarier. That's really scarier. A quick glance at the like, oh, so I'm sorry, I kicked my water bottle over. A quick glance at the like Reddit about Real Housewives of Vancouver is everybody mentioning that they struggled to watch the show because Jodi was so horrible.
So evil, yeah.
So
I've
evil. She
seen the
gave
word
them
evil,
nightmares.
yeah.
She's just awful person and
Oh,
like too far.
we didn't talk about her daughter.
No, which is crazy that we didn't, because what was first of all, what was that? Second,
She seemed almost more terrifying than Jody.
indeed.
That laugh was
Really scary.
demonic. She seems like she would
Is the no good.
like hit you over the head with something while you're not
She feels
looking.
like she'd kill you. Yeah, she would run you over with her
Car,
Range
her range,
Rover.
her giant that Hummer they have,
Oh
that
yeah.
massive Hummer, that double wide Hummer.
Exactly. That's exactly what she would do. She would do it in a Walmart parking lot, no questions asked.
She would drive that car right into the
Yeah,
Walmart.
that daughter has they both the two of them together have an aura that has a that reaches a level of evil that is very hard to look at. I cannot wait to watch the rest of this. I'm so excited.
I mean, I think all these women, with the exception of poor Mary Silva,
Poor
like
Mary.
present really interesting characters. And they're all different. And in a way, they're not anything I've seen on another Housewives show. I can't think of like parallels with between them and any other character I've seen on other shows, and almost to the extent that it feels like someone wrote a really eerie gothic novel set in the universe of a Housewives production, and these are all the characters. Like there's this ingenue that just seems like so helplessly vulnerable. Like Mary seems almost like too like saccharine and innocent to be real. Like she doesn't seem to have a mean bone in her body, which is probably a liability on a show like this.
Oh, yeah.
Ronnie is like so clearly like deeply miserable as a human being, like really angry at something, probably having to do with her husband who dates 14-year-olds, ex-husband. I mean, Christina is this like is this sort of like Miss Scarlet kind of there's even though there's something very compelling about her, there's still something very dark about her and like sumptuous and interesting. Reiko has this like statuesque quality that's like a little tragic too. She's clearly married to a man that she's not attracted to. Like there's and she's got this like very controlled, icy exterior that's very interesting. And then Jody is just like plain evil. Like just
Well, that it is true. It does almost feel like
it's
they're
very
kind
gothic.
of, yeah, it's almost lab grown kind of characters in a Real Housewives parody about
Yeah.
how evil the Real Housewives
You know
is.
what? If Salt Lake is a Housewives parody, this is like a Housewives horror show, like horror movie in a way.
It does have that feeling. It
Yeah.
really does. It has there's an uncanny quality to it. And it's a
It's like
somebody.
a Black Mirror portrayal of a
Ooh,
Housewives
that's so
show.
fun. That's so fun.
Yeah.
This feels like this also, by the way, feels like a great idea for a show, a series. Let me not take a note because I don't need anything else to do with my time. But there, the uncanniness that comes out is someone's somebody who I sort of know tangentially tweeted, because I will never it's a Twitter, it's still
It's a
Twitter,
tweet. It's a tweet.
it's a tweet,
It's
tweeted that
an X. X.
he had one shot at x.com. It was in 2000. It tanked. Stop it. But somebody tweeted that like this beautiful encapsulation of the uncanniness of Canadians, because this is really what you're coming up against, is like, do you ever talk to somebody who's like really cool and interesting and fun, but something's just slightly off about them?
It's
And then you
because they're
find out they're
Canadian.
Canadian. And it's true. There is something slightly off
It's so interesting that
about.
you can access that being a Canadian because I think it's something that a lot of Americans feel, especially when they go to Canada, because
Yes.
it's so similar, but there's something, everything's
Just
a little
slightly
bit different,
wrong.
a little bit different. I
It's and
like it.
it's a
I
thing.
personally like it. Like when I go to Toronto, it feels like Chicago, but sideways, and I like it.
Yeah. And the I think the reason I can particularly see that is because the first time I went to Chicago, it was like Toronto, but
Sideways.
right side up. It was like, oh, this is what it's like. It was this weird fusion of like, this is what Toronto used to be like, and this is what Toronto could be.
It's an alternate
Yeah,
timeline.
it so there's so many similarities between Canadians and Americans, so many. But we're just at a parallax of each other. We're not just not quite the same.
Which is interesting because that would explain why this show, this particular iteration of Housewives, seems to be so much more interesting to American viewers than Canadians. Like it didn't really have the juice to
No.
sustain itself on Canadian television.
No.
There was also a very short-lived Real Housewives of Toronto, I think one season that just
Yeah,
Canadians didn't watch it, they didn't care about it. But Vancouver enjoys sort of a cult following in the US, and I think it's
that's so
because
fun.
precisely because of that, like there's there it feels like it could be in another American city, but there's something slightly it doesn't have quite the exoticism of like a Real Housewives of Cheshire or a Real Housewives of Melbourne, which are very clearly Australian and very clearly British and regional even at that. And there's all these African Housewives franchises in Nigeria and South Africa and Kenya that are interesting in their own right.
Of course.
But Vancouver, it feels from an American perspective, American, but also not American, and navigating that contradiction but confluence at the same time is weird.
Yes.
It's very weird.
Yeah. Well, because there's, in a way, there's like no exoticism to it, like none whatsoever. But there's just something that feels wrong.
You know what?
It's.
It's a lot like Again, when I talk to Canadians about this, they all roll their eyes because they don't care. But Americans love Degrassi. And I would probably wager that the audience for Degrassi in the United States is probably much larger than it is in Canada, despite it being
So
this like
funny.
titular Canadian like after school special teen interest show. It seems like it is like the show for that demographic in Canada. But I think it enjoys a wider audience and wider appeal in the US because, and I remember watching it as a kid, not knowing that it was Canadian. Just thinking it was another teen show, but there was something fascinating and off about it that I couldn't quite put my finger on. The way the school was structured, the way they spoke to each other, I remember hearing the pronunciation of how they said certain words and
Right,
not
of
knowing
course.
those were Canadian pronunciations, but thinking, where are these people from? Also, it's so diverse. Wow.
It's true.
Holy moly. But like the way the school was laid out, the kinds of classes they went to. I remember they had like a media class, and I was like, what the fuck is a media
Yes, we
class?
did.
Like,
That is a real thing in grade 11. That's one, and that's a
and the
perfect
way grade
example
11, grade
of
12,
of a perfect example of exactly something just being off. 11th grade, 12th grade. No, in Canada, grade 11, grade 12. And media studies was a class you could take in grade 11. And in fact, until what was it, 2000, maybe the year 2001 or two, there was a grade 13.
Interesting. Was that like an optional year or?
If you were
Okay.
going to university,
I
you
think the
would do
UK
that year.
has that, right? They do have
They
the
have A levels,
right,
like is
which is
yeah,
two
which is like
years that
a
are optional, right?
yes, you do not have to do them. You can test out, I believe. But yeah, so we used to have that. I didn't have grade 13, because I was it was abolished. They got rid of it. So there was a huge brouhaha in Canada when they were getting rid of it, because in Ontario where it was, because it was the double cohort year where twice the number of kids would graduate, because there was a set that was going to graduate in 12th grade and a set that was going to graduate in
Got
grade 13, also
it.
called OAC. And yeah, it was a huge thing in Canada. And yeah, Degrassi Junior High was all of that same era. And no,
Degrassi the Next Generation
that's right,
is what I'm
because there
referring
is an
to.
earlier Degrassi.
There's the original Degrassi, then there's the
Yes.
Degrassi Junior High. I think that was like a younger version, right?
Yeah, and
And
then
then
there's
Degrassi the
Degrassi, the
Next
Next
Generation,
Generation.
which I think is the it's like the core. It's the core of the
It's the
brand
one. I mean,
identity.
it's where you got Drake.
It's where you got Drake. It's where you got who else came out of there? Nina Dobrev came out of there. Lots of people. There was a great Drake did a video for I'm Upset. Where he went back and filmed at the high school, and he got all the cast members to come back and I really enjoyed it. I loved it. I know that we have feelings about Drake, but that we won't get into.
No
But
comment.
while on the topic of evil Canadians.
Yeah, diabolical Canadians. Exactly. Exactly. It was
Ooh,
Degrassi.
Elon
Oof.
Musk's roots are Canadian. His grandfather was Canadian. He was part of a like a cult essentially that they were technocrats and they referred to each other. I think they like gave each other last names that were just series of numbers, which explains why he names his children crazy things. And they were his grandfather went from being this like technocratic believer to being essentially a white supremacist, anti-Semitic fascist, and that's why he liked South Africa, apartheid South
That's
Africa, so
right.
much.
Yes. So Elon Musk's family, on that side, which is his mother's side, were essentially that they were, at the time, Social Credit Party,
Yes, Social Credit Party, right, which is
Social
an
Credit Party,
anti-Semitic party, right?
which was a fascist party. It was essentially a fascist party, in Canada. They were in the style of the day. They had a shirt. Like they were, we talk about the brown shirts, the black shirts, and so on. They were the silver shirts, interestingly enough. And yes, that part of the family moved to South Africa, which is because they thought apartheid was really cool, which it's very interesting because the Bantu laws, that sort of set up how apartheid, townships worked in South Africa were based on the Indian laws in Canada
Lovely.
directly.
Great. Wonderful.
They came to Canada to and lift it, basically lifted them word for word to come up with the Bantu laws in the 40s.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's so cool. And
Anyway, that's our president.
never forget, Elon Musk's great grandparents brought chiropractic to Canada.
Great. Wonderful.
Yes, so cool.
From where? Germany or something, or
Wherever that witchcraft comes from.
it's all full circle because now we have RFK.
Yeah, I mean, we have
The
RFK.
patron saint of
That's
chiropractors.
it. We've got RFK. We're going to be eating the bugs because that's what he does. It's great. I love it. So cool. Planes are falling out of the sky in Canada today.
God.
Not to date when we recorded this, but you know.
It's all coming up very dark and very Canadian.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Canada's a dark place.
Is in
Cold.
a very compelling way. I'm so excited to cover the rest of this with you.
I cannot wait. I'm so psyched. I have to admit, I already watched like three or four episodes. I'm like,
You did?
yes.
Wow. Okay, I'm behind.
Oh,
I gotta catch up.
I am so invested in how truly evil some of these women are.
Yeah, so there was supposed to be a reunion a couple years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, to bring the cast all back together, and something horrible happened. I think someone died, that, and then it didn't end up going through.
Jesus.
This cast is cursed in a lot of ways. I think Jodie and her daughter were involved with a man who ended up putting Jodie's daughter in the hospital, who was drug connected, and it's. That there's a lot of darkness percolating just under the surface. And
Incredible
this
things.
slice just drilled a little bit down into the permafrost, the Canadian permafrost, and unleashed some
That's Vancouver, baby. That's what it's all about. Is
so,
it's just
what's under the ice?
what's under the ice? Nightmares.
Oh, that would have been a great tagline for
Well, that would have to be for
them.
like Real Housewives of Thunder Bay.
Which I would totally watch.
I would watch every episode.
Be very Finnish, right?
A pretty Finnish. It would be Finnish. It would be drunk. And once again, Canadians get a kind of drunk Americans do not get. We're much more practiced drinkers, I'm sorry to say. And the accent would be
Wild.
something to behold.
We are apparently, I think, maybe going to get a Real Housewives of Toronto
A
reboot.
new one.
So
Yeah,
we
I've been
will
hearing
maybe track that once it's
rumors.
out.
I've been hearing rumors and
But
nastiness.
hopefully we see some sort of revival in Vancouver one day too. Although I think nowadays it would just be a lot of really, really wealthy Chinese women, which I would love to watch.
I would love to watch
I
that.
would love to watch a Housewives show that follows extremely wealthy overseas Chinese. That. Crazy Rich Asians and Housewives married. I would love. I'm surprised there isn't like a Real Housewives of Hong Kong or Singapore, but I guess maybe the filming laws over there are a little bit more strict. So maybe Vancouver can be that milieu. All right.
Okay.
I
I am so excited for this. It's
am
really
too.
incredibly crazy and scary.
I'm gonna go watch the second episode now. So I will text you my thoughts.
Yes.
Thanks for stopping by.
Oh, do it again soon or something. I don't know. That was my Canadian jumping out. You're welcome.
I heard that
And I'm sorry.
you hit that double O pretty hard.
I can still hit it. It's not really in there as much anymore, but I can still hit it.
Right, until next week.
See ya.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Not Above It, the podcast for serious people who love unserious TV. You can follow the show on Instagram at NotAboveItPod, and you can email me your thoughts, concerns, criticisms, hopes, dreams, love letters, diatribes, whatever you got, to notaboveitpodcast@gmail.com. I would love it if you could also please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, and I'd be ever so grateful if you could rate and review it. Please be kind, or don't. Spicy reviews are fine, they're welcome, they keep things interesting. All right, until next time, friends. Bye.